Hey, it's Kiefer backstage at Bonnaroo, and we've been joined by Alan Stone. Alan, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Kiefer.
Self-professed hippie with a soul. Which came first, the hippie or the soul?
Well, hopefully the soul. I would. Yeah, the soul, for sure. Hey,
you grew up singing in your dad's church, and we've had a few people who have passed through here this weekend that they grew up singing in the church. What is it about singing in the church that has produced so many great singers over the years?
You know, for me, I think I always equate it to singing in a congregation and a group of people. You know, for me, like, church was my father was a minister, so it was a 2-time-a-week thing, you know. Well, 3-time-a-week. You'd go Wednesday for, you know, youth time or whatever, and then you'd go Sunday morning and you go Sunday night. And before the service or before the sermon, you'd always sing. You'd always do hymnals. You'd do worship. I think singing in a group of people that often, you know, you also notice that with people whose parents are like musicians, you know, traveling musicians, and the kids went out on the road with them or just around music a lot. Singing in a group of people, to me at least, that's what really sparked my desire to sing, was I guess the community created while singing and tapping into music with groups of people. Because my church that I grew up in, it wasn't like Al Green's church, you know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like you're going into like Detroit, going into like a gospel church. This was like, we were struggling for musicians, you know what I mean? There was slim pickings around the 1,200 person town I grew up in. And so to me, I think it was just the energy created and getting lost in that spirit, so to speak.
You started collecting vintage R&B and soul records. I assume that's where it sparked your interest in the kind of music. What were some of the early titles, or what was the first single you bought, or some of the early titles that stick out in your mind?
Well, I mean, the first record I ever really got into was Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder. You know, that led to a lot of stuff, but that was, for a while, that was my jam, and I'd listen to as much Stevie Wonder as hopefully there probably is. I'm still searching for it, you know, in the deep underlings of the music industry. But Inner Visions, you know, one of my favorite records of all time is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. You know, it's tough. Musiquarium, Talking Book, so many really incredible records that all those, you know, Motown era of musicians created. It's, you know, my perspective on the soul music thing is I came later in the game because my father was a minister. I was a little bit sheltered from that side of pop culture, and so still to this day, you know, I'm learning all these incredible artists that were, you know, before my time. But those were some of the records, yeah, that really got me into.
Well, here's probably, you know, a dumb question, but maybe one that you want to talk about a little bit. What was it about Stevie Wonder? What is it about that record, Inner Visions, that really, really, you know, got into your brain?
I don't know. It's really hard. It's hard for me when I listen to music to be like, what is it about this? It's almost like it's almost the unspoken. It's almost the, I don't know, I guess it's what's the difference between, you know, a James Taylor and I don't know, it's an unspoken thing. You know, there's really, you know, you could say it's the pocket, but there's other records that have pockets. You could say it's Stevie's voice. I really enjoy his tone and his intonation, but there's other singers that have that same vibe. I think what it was, and what's beautiful about music is music meets you in a time and a place. And for some reason, there's a time and a place where you hear a specific song or a specific artist or a specific singer that, I've done this before. I've listened to records previously and not been into them. been like, it's cool. I like it. But then you listen to it again, you know, 3, 4, 5 months later, and you're like, oh. And I think it has a lot to do with, like, my spirit and my energy at the time and my, I guess, susceptibility to the music at that point.
I saw you on an episode at Live at Daryl's.
Yeah.
Daryl Hall show. Mm-hmm. I believe the dish was a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Have you made one since?
It's good. I haven't. No, I've made plenty of mess, though, but I haven't made a Philly cheesesteak. That was good, man. That was Tony Luke. And me and, it was funny, we got to do an episode later, actually. It was me and Sharon Jones and Daryl. And we all made some Philly cheesesteak together. So I'm not sure if they've aired that episode, but man, who's singing in there? That sounds good.
Was that Gillette Johnson?
Yeah. I want to go listen to her. It was good, man. I wish I could cook you one right now, dude. I got a hankering for a Philly cheese right now.
I know you're a big Seattle Supersonic fan. Of course, they became the Oklahoma Thunder, but you almost got the Sacramento Kings. Would you have liked to have seen that happen?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Who wouldn't? You know, I think it's this way, though, Keith, if you want me to be honest with you about Seattle. Okay, I love Seattle. Great city, incredible, incredible city. When the Sonics were in town, it seemed like the vast majority of people didn't give a rat's a until they left and then became the Oklahoma Thunder and started winning ball games. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Kevin Durant was in our city for 2 years and then took off and, you know, made it to the finals and is a competing team every year. Seattle's like, but before that, man, we were pretty fair weathered. We're same way with the Seahawks. You know, like last year we had a good season. Everybody's pumped about the Seahawks. Years that they don't. I mean, I don't know. I'm mad busy, so I don't get to follow sports very much. But yes, it would have been rad to have the Seahawks and, or excuse me, the Supersonics back. But we deserve it a little bit. We deserve to sit there and salivate for our team. You know.
I wonder if because maybe half the team spent half their season in jail there towards the end, people were like, well, see you later.
No, you know.
One of the themes going on at Bonnaroo this year is we're talking about album art. Tell me about the record Alan Stone, because it's a pretty stark cover. What were you going for there?
Well, you know, that record really to me was my attempt to just pay homage to the type of music that really got me into singing and got me into playing. That, you know, throwback vibe of the 60s and 70s. And with album artwork for me, I always think kind of less is more and don't ever want to get too busy with mine. You know, at the time, it was just my attempt to, like I said, recreate that era, so to speak. And so it's pretty plain, and you know, not much goes into it, but I don't know. What's funny is I made that artwork myself, and when I released the record, you know, independently, it was like, okay, this is, you know, this will work, this is cool. And then it ended up sticking, and we rolled with it. So I wouldn't say that there was a specific, like, artistic merit involved with it. It was more so just creatively trying to recreate something that had been put in front of me for so many years with soul music.
It wouldn't have looked uncommon to see that in a peach crate back in the 70s if you're flipping through somebody's collection. It's like, hey, Alan Stone. We're also asking people to tell us about their favorite Beatle album cover. But feel free to talk a little bit about, you know, your favorite Beatles album musically. Did you like the Beatles? I mean, mixed in with all the early R&B you were picking up, did you pick up any Beatles or?
You know, yeah, I did. I'm getting into the Beatles. You know, I've gotten into the Beatles a lot more in the last like 5 to 6 years. between the ages of like 15 and 19, it was a lot of soul music, but really got into the Beatles, you know, in the last 5 years. I guess looking at this wall, personally, my favorite artwork that the Beatles, they have so much good ones, you know. It's like, it's tough because there's so many iconic songs involved with the artwork, and it's hard to, you know, separate those. I think just artwork alone, my favorite would be Revolver. Kind of just because I want to know what they were thinking when they did it, you know? It's just a lot of stuff. I mean, who's this guy in the middle? Right there, is that John? Or who's the guy with the huge chops? It looks a little bit like Abraham Lincoln. I don't know. It's mad cool, you know? My favorite Beatles record, though, is Rubber Soul, as far as the musical side goes. It's got some really, I mean, that to me is from 1 to, how many songs are on there, 12? 1 to 12, just every song is iconic.
Or backstage at Bonnaroo with Alan Stone, what's next for you? The record has been out for, a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, the record, well, I released the record in October of 2011.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, right after this, next is hopefully Lunch, and then after that, I don't plan too far ahead, Keith. Yeah. No, I've got a tour up until about August, and then after that, I'm going to hop back in. I mean, I've been writing for the new record, and then once August hits, we'll hop in the studio and start working towards that next one.
Well, fantastic. Alan Stone, backstage at Bonnaroo.